Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Ayin Aleph. If we left off on daf Ayin Amud Beis, we're at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Ayin Amud Beis. This year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha. We thank him very, very much for continuing to sponsor the daf Yomi Shir. Today the Mishnah is going to talk about the status of wine after troops have passed through the town and they've had access to all of the wine in the city. So what is the status of all of that wine? Then the next Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to talk about if a person receives wages from Yayin Nesach, and obviously a Jew doesn't want wages from Yayin Nesach, so can he exchange it for cash? Can he say, excuse me, please take this back, I'd prefer to have cash, or is that a violation of getting Hana'ah from Yayin Nesach? And what situation is that mutter, and what situation is that usher? That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about having a Nachri pay off your taxes or pay off your debts with Yayin Nesach. He asks him, do me a favor, pay off my stuff. And he chooses to use Yayin Nesach to do so. Is that going to be problematic? Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about when you're selling wine to a non-Jew, you have to be careful that it doesn't become Yayin Nesach before the transaction is affected, because then you're getting paid for Yayin Nesach. You want to make sure you get paid, transaction is done, and then it becomes whatever it becomes. Then the Nachri will be touching it and handling it, and we'll turn it into things that are Asr Bahana'ah. But you got to get the Hana'ah before it becomes Asr Bahana'ah. And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of how a guy can make a Kinyan. Meaning, does Mashicha work as a valid form of Kinyan for a non-Jew? It's going to be a Machlokas, and we're going to have four Rayas. One of those Rayas is from our Mishnah, and that's why that whole discussion appears over here. And that takes up the entire Amud Beis about whether a guy is kind of a Mashicha or not. Does Kinyan Mashicha work for and from a Nachri? So let's begin the bottom of Daf Ayinam Beis at the Mishnah. Balesha Shenichlas Aliir. Let's say you have a group of soldiers that come into a city, and there are barrels of wine in the city. So B'Shash Shalom, if they came at a time of peace where they're not coming to take any spoils or anything, it's just that the local law has it that the troops have to be supported by the local population, so they're allowed to take food. Chavios psuchos asuros, so open barrels are going to be asr ba'anah, because we're choshesh that maybe they touched that wine. Now, from the Mishnah, it sounds like even if they opened up many, many barrels, the wine is going to be asr ba'anah. So Tosfos raises the question, well, we just said earlier on Daf Ayinam Beis, and yesterday's shir, that when it comes to a pulmus, that if a group of people come and they open up a whole bunch of stuff, so then you could assume that they're not looking to be menaseh yayin, they're looking for money. So why don't we say the same thing about these troops, that they're just looking for money, even if they opened up a ton of stuff? Meaning, after all, the Mishnah makes it sound like regardless of how many barrels they open up, that we assume that the chavios psuchos are asuros, but maybe they were just looking for money. So Tosfos says that no, it's dafka. Previously we were talking about a pulmus. Over there we're talking about types of people that come to collect taxes. They're coming to collect the arnuna. Pulmus is also government officials, but those are government officials that are looking for money. They're after your money, and therefore, if they open up a whole bunch of stuff, you have the right to assume that they're only looking for money. They weren't looking to be menaseh anything. But over here, we're talking about soldiers that are not here to collect money. They're not authorized to collect money. They're here to get fed, because that's the law, that you have to feed them. So even if they open up many, many barrels, the chavios are going to be asuros. But stumos mutaros, whatever chavios are still sealed, are going to be mutar, because they obviously didn't touch them. Because if they would have touched them, they wouldn't have gone and resealed the barrels. They have no reason to do so. So the fact that they're sealed tells us that they were never tampered with. B'shas milchama, but if it's a time of milchama, elu ve'elu mutaros, then even the open barrels are mutar. L'fishen p'nai l'nasich, because who has a head to be menasich yayin l'avodazara when they're tarud with a milchama? And so even if we know that the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, even if we know that he touched this wine in order to drink it, the wine does not become asr mishum stam yenam, because b'shas milchama, there's no das whatsoever on avodazara. He's not thinking about avodazara at all, and therefore he's not menasich at all. And when it's not shayuch nisuch, they also aren't kosher stam yenam. So you won't even have an iser of stam yenam. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Agadol that we're talking about a case where there was some sort of seal on the barrel. There was a lid on the barrel. If there was no lid on the barrel, it would be asra filu b'shtia, because if they touched this wine, it would still be stam yenam. stam yenam, that even if they're not minasech, you still have to worry about the issue of stam yenam. But anyway, that's the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, we had said that if soldiers come into a city at a shas milchama, they're not going to have a head to be minasech, they're not going to have any time to be minasech, that's not going to be something that they would do. But a Rimini, I'll ask you a stira, because there is a Mishnah, Mesachas Ksubas in the second parak, that Irshak of Shua Karkum, that if an invading army conquers a city, Kol Kohanu Shabbatoch Psulos, any wives of Kohanim in that city are possible to their husbands, because we have to be choshesh that maybe Rachman al-Tzlan, these soldiers were ma'anis, these women, and the halacha is that if Anishas Yisrael is Nansa, she's Muteris Labaila, but Anishas Kohen that's Nansa is Asura Labaila. But apparently, even B'Shas Muhammad, they have time to do Averos, they have time to do terrible things. Apparently they have time to rape the women, so why would they not have time to be menasech liayin? Says the Gemara, because those are two very different things. Amar Rav Mari, lenasech ein panai, they're not in a religious mindset, but they are in a very high testosterone mindset. Livol yesh panai, they'll find time to have bia. So therefore, we're choshesh that they did so and took advantage of the ashes of the wives of the kohanim, and all the kohanim's wives are going to be asurus lebalehen. Now the Gemara in Ksubas brings another teretz. The Gemara in Ksubas, when it asks this very same stira, says another teretz that kan bekarkum shalos malchus, kan bekarkum shal malchus acheres. That it depends whose soldiers are these. Are these friendly soldiers or are these enemy soldiers? So the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos exactly how that chiluk runs, but the Gemara over here doesn't bring that teretz, and the Ritva says because it's ein la halacha, that's why it doesn't bring that teretz. However, the Ritva then says that maybe it doesn't bring that teretz because it doesn't help explain, it doesn't help qualify our Mishnah, meaning it will turn out that the chiluk between this Malchus and some other Malchus, that's true when it comes to the concern about the Kohanos being Asuros. But as far as Nisuch is concerned, whether it's Karkum Shalosa Malchus or Karkum Shal Malchus Acheres, they don't have Panay L'Nasech, meaning the whole difference between whether they're friendly soldiers or unfriendly soldiers is what are they going to do to the women? What they're going to do to the Yayin is irrelevant whether they're friendly soldiers or unfriendly soldiers. Neither of those anyone who's involved in a war is just going to not have Panay L'Nasech. So since it does nothing to help us understand our Mishnah, we don't bring that Teretz. That Teretz only helps us understand the Mishnah in Maseches Ksubas. That's what the Ritva points out. Next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ha'umnin shel Yisrael sheshalchem ovicham chavish shel Yayin Nesach b'scharan. You have workers of a Jew that the Ovid Chavim sent them as their wages, Yayin Nesach. Wait a second, what is going on over here? They work for a Jew, so why is an Ovid Chavim paying them anything? The Jew should be paying them. He's the one that owes them the money. So according to our girsa of the Mishnah, we're talking about the umnin work for a Jewish boss, and that Jewish boss has a payroll company. He asks a guy to pay the workers for him, and that guy, instead of paying them kesef, sends them yayin. However, there's another girsa in the Mishnah that not ha'umanin shel Yisrael, but umnin Israel, that these are Jewish workers and they happen to work for a non-Jewish boss, and therefore the boss is paying them. It's not that there's a third party that's paying them, and that would be a much more direct way of understanding the case. The Melech HaShlomo points out that there's no real difference in halacha between the two girsos. The whole issue is from the recipient's perspective, that if I'm getting Yayin Nesach as my wages, what can I do to actually get paid and not to violate the Yisrael Hanah from Yayin Nesach? It really shouldn't matter whether the Yayin Nesach came through a payroll company or came directly from the boss. So there's no real difference in halacha between the two girsos. So why would we prefer one girsa over the other? Well, the girsa of Umnin Yisrael that we don't have, that girsa makes a lot more sense. It's just a much more direct case. Jewish people working for a non-Jewish boss. Why involve a third party and overcomplicate the case for no reason? But the Rashba points out that our girsa makes more sense with the Gemara that follows, because the Gemara that follows is going to talk about having an Ovid Chavim pay your debt, that you owe a tax, and you have an Ovid Chavim pay your debt. So that's going to fit much better with this Mishnah, if the Mishnah is talking about where there's a Jewish boss and a Jewish employee, and the Jewish boss has an Ovid Chavim pay his employees for him. So that would be the reason to prefer our girsa. So anyway, but it's really irrelevant la'alacha. The point is that someone is paying yayin esech, goyim are paying yayin esech to Jewish workers. So mutu lomar, the Jewish worker can say to the non-Jew, don't give us these barrels, rather tein lanu astameha, give us the value of these barrels, and that is not considered a violation of hana'ah from yayin esech, because they never were kona, those barrels, so the guy just owes them money. So they can say, no thank you, we're not taking these barrels, we'd prefer if you give us money. But once they already came into the rishus and they agreed to accept these barrels, then usher, then they cannot go and exchange it for yayin, because they've already accepted it as barrels, so they cannot at that point go and exchange it. So the Rush points out, if they didn't give it to them, they just left it in their chatzer, that the Nachri left these barrels in their chatzer, then it's not usher, because the chatzero shaladim is not konelo bal kercho. So even though there is such a thing as a kinyan chatzer, but that's only with das kone. But if you don't have the das of the kone, chatzero shaladim cannot be kona for a person against his will. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yudah Rav, mutar lo adam lomar lo chavim. A person is allowed to tell an ovid chavim, tseva hafeis alai minas ha-melech. Do me a favor, be mefayis the melech to pay my taxes for him, and I'll pay you back. And even though the guy may choose to pay the melech yayin nesech, that's not considered that the Jew is benefiting from yayin nesech through the fact that his taxes were paid through yayin nesech. Because the guy is not giving the yayin with the shlichus of the Israel, he could be mefayis with money or with anything else. The Jew doesn't care what the guy is using. He's just saying, "I'll pay you back. Take care of the king, and I'll pay you back whatever I owe you." So that's not called that he's getting anar from yayin nesach. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei, is that really true? That's not called he's getting anar from yayin nesach. Didn't the Brisa tell us al yomar adam lo v'chavim ol tachti laotzer, that a Jew should not say to an ovid chavim, "Go in my place to be mefayes, the officers of the king, to give him wine in my place." Says so Kasha and Rav. Rav says, you're allowed to say tseva hafeis alai minas ha-melech. Says the Gemara, Amrei Rav, ultachti la-otzer ka-amrit. You're asking me a Kasha from a lashon of ultachtai la-otzer? Hallo dami al-laha. That, if you want to give a comparison of what that's similar to what it says in the Hemshech of the Braisa, avol omer lo malteini mina otzer, that you're allowed to tell a guy malteini mina, meaning the case that I'm talking about is when you tell him save me from the officer, that you could do it however you want by paying money, by whatever, and so then when you choose to pay wine, that's not my shlichus. I'm not asking you to do that, but old tachtai laotzer means you are tachas me, you are my shliach. Yad shliach, yad balabai. Whatever you do, shluch shalom kamosa. Whatever you do is considered like I'm doing it. So yeah, ul tachtai laotzer is taka problematic. But that's not what I said. Says Rav. I said you're allowed to tell no vichum save face alai menasa melech. You want to compare that to something in the brisa? That's more similar to malteini mina otzer, where you just tell him save me from this guy and do whatever it takes to save me from this guy. Now it's interesting what the Gemara is. Chilik essentially is did you make the Nachri your shaliach, or just ask him to take care of things? That if you asked him to take care of things, then he's doing his own thing and it's not your problem if he pays with the ayin. But if you made him your shaliach, then whatever he does is you, and therefore it cannot be with the ayin nesach. So the Ritva explains, well, wait a second, ain't shlichus the Nachri. So what does that mean? You made him your shaliach and it becomes you. So the Ritva explains, since you have to pay the guy the value of the ayin that he paid because you asked him to do so, it's as if you're being porei chov o b'yayin nesach. Meaning it's not literal shlichus, but since you're asking him to act on your behalf, that at least creates a chov with yayin nesach, and you're not allowed to be porei chov with yayin nesach. Okay, so says the Mishnah now, when a Jew has wine that has become misnasech, so he's not allowed to sell it to anybody. He cannot sell it even to a nachri, and if he sells it to the nachri, the money's going to be asr bana. So if a Jew is in the wine selling business and he has non-Jewish customers, he needs to be very careful that the guy should not touch the wine before the transaction is affected, before the kinyan is made. Because if the guy is minasech v'yayin before the transaction is made, then the transaction cannot be made. You're not going to be allowed to sell it. Then whatever money you get from that transaction is going to be asr. So the Mishnah says, here's how you do it. This is how you sell wine to an achri. Hamocher yena lovid chavim. If someone is selling wine to an ovid chavim, if he comes up with a price before they actually measure out and they actually physically transfer the wine from one place to the other, and only afterwards the nachri does a meshicha, then dam of mutarin, then the money that he gets is going to be mutar, because once they agreed upon a price, the guy is fully maskim to the kinyan, and he wants his meshicha to work in order to make the kinyan, in order to be kona whatever in it. So when he touches the yayin and he's menasech it, it's already his, because he was already moshech it. And whatever, even though he hasn't yet paid for it, the money that he pays afterwards is not dmei yayin esech, it's the dmei hayayin that he was chayiv at the shas meshicha. That at the time of meshicha, he already made a kinyan, that's where the money was owed. So now when he's paying for the wine in that moment. So yeah, a moment later it may have become yayin esech, but that's not what he's paying for. He's not paying for a moment later. Even though the payment actually comes in a week from now or 10 minutes from now, whatever it's going to be, the payment comes later, but the payment is for the moment before it became Yai Nesach. But let's say before they ever came up with a price, they already did the Medida, they already did the Meshicha, then a Dama Vasurin. Then the money is going to be Asur, because the guy is not fully maskim to the Kenyan. He's afraid. He doesn't know what price the Jew is going to ask for this wine. So he doesn't want that his Meshicha should effectuate the kinyan. So it turns out that when he touches the yayin and he's menasech it, it's still the Jewish person's wine. So he's menasech yayin, that's Bereshus Yisrael. So now the Jew is not going to be allowed to take money for that wine, because it had become yayin nesach. Now, even though we said that when a guy is menasech yayin that belongs to a Jew is allowed to be toveya mamon from the guy because he had ruined his wine, that's only if the guy didn't ruin the wine midasa Yisrael, the Ritva points out. But the Ritva points out, if he touched the wine, midasa Yisrael, the Jew is saying, yeah, here, be Moshech, and he takes it. So then the Jew can't turn around and say, ah, you ruined all my wine. You were dealing with him. You gave it to him. You allowed him to do this. So that's going to be an Isser for the Yisrael. That is at least one way of understanding the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara, it's a machlokas where the Mashiach is Kona, Mashiach is not Kona. So the way we just explained the Mishnah is if you assume Mashiach is Kona, right? That a guy can be Kona by Mashiach. So the Mishnah is being Mechalik, that if they already agreed upon a price, so then he has Das to be Kona with the Mashiach, and the Mashiach works. If they did not agree upon a price, even though he's doing a physical act of Mashiach, but no Kinyan works without having Das, and he has no Das to be Kona at the time of the Mashiach, and therefore the Mashiach Mashiach won't work, even though normally Mashiach is Kona for a guy. The Gemara is going to explain how are you going to understand our Mishnah if you hold Mashiach is not Kona, but that's the explanation of the Mishnah, at least according to Amemar, holds Mashiach is Kona. So says the Gemara now, Amar Amemar, Mashiach Ovid Chavim Kona, Mashiach works by an Ovid Chavim even before money is actually paid. Teda, and I'll bring you a raya, Dani Parsoi, Mashadri Pardoshni La Adadi Velo Hadribu, because these Parsoi people, they send gifts to one another and they never return them, because apparently it's too late. They're already Kona b'mashicha. So apparently we see Mashicha has the ability to be Kona. So the Tosos points out over here in Dibra Maskel Amar that a Amemar does not mean to say that the makar of the idea, the source of the din that Mashicha is Kona, is the behavior of these Parsa'i. They don't have the ability to be the source of a din. What would even the Hava Mina be that's the source of the din? So Binyan Shlomo points out that it would be a sort of kinyan setumta, that there is such a thing as a handshake being, if you live in a society where a handshake is a kinyan, so then it becomes a kinyan in halacha as well. So we do that. It's one of the kinyanim we do when we sell the chametz to an achri. We do a handshake as well, but it's a kinyan setumta. So Binyan Shlomo says one might have thought that this becomes the accepted practice, and because the fact that they never return these gifts shows that it's final, that it's a kinyan. So no, says Tosos, it's not the source of the kinyan. It's just that if this is the way they've always done it, it's muchach that must have been the din. But the actual makar of the idea that Mashiach is kona is because he assumes, like Rabbi Yochanan, Maseches Bechoros, that min haTorah Yisrael is kona with kesef, meaning whatever a kinyan works for Yisrael does not work for a nachri. So if you hold that a kinyan kesef works for Yisrael, it must be kinyan kesef does not work for a nachri. So then what does work for a nachri? Mashiach must be the kinyan that works for a nachri. How do I know that what works for Yisrael does not work for a nachri? Pasuk says, v'chisim kru memkru lamisecha, okana miyad amisecha. So we darshin, lamisecha b'kesef, avlo v'chavim lo b'kesef, el b'mashiach. That lamisecha, that's where kesef works as a kinyan, but for no v'chavim, kesef is not going to work as a kinyan, only Mashiach is going to work as a kinyan. That is Shitas HaMeimar. So HaMeimar holds Mashiach is a valid form of kinyan for Novid Chavim. Ravashi Yomar, Mashiach HaVavichavim Eina Kona. That no, Mashiach does not work as a valid form of kinyan for Novid Chavim. Haidlo Hajibu, how am I going to explain why these Parsai people would send gifts and they would never exchange them, they would never return them? De Ramos Ruchu, De Nikitalu. It's Tam that they have a certain sense of pride that they have, and because of their kavod, they don't want to back out on the gift. That shows that you're a little too needy if you're returning the gift, meaning if it doesn't matter that much in your life, so then what difference does it make? You know, you say you got a gift and you won't use it, you will use it, it's no difference, but it shows that you're a little too needy, so they were too if you're returning the gift, so they were too prideful to do so. Tosus points out that the machlokas Ravashi and Amemar is really the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Bamatzia Daf Mem Zayin, because Bamatzia Daf Mem Zayin, there's a machlokas whether Yisrael is kona b'kesef or b'mashiach when he's kona mechavero. So the kinyan of a guy is going to be the opposite of a kinyan of Yisrael, lamisecha v'lo l'goy. So whatever you hold the kinyan is for Yisrael, you're going to hold that the opposite kinyan is for a guy. If you hold Yisrael is kona b'kesef, then you hold a guy is kona b'mashiach. You hold Yisrael is kona b'mashiach, you're going to hold a guy is kona b'kesef. That's what Tosas writes. The Ritva happens to disagree with that, but that's what Tosas writes. So now let's begin the Rayas, right? Meaning we have this Machlokas, HaMeimer and Ravashi, where HaMeimer holds that Mashiach works for a guy. Ravashi says Mashiach does not work. So I'm Ravashi Mina Aminila. What is my source? Meaning, Raya number one, Midamalu Rav Lahanu Savayasa, because I heard Rav once tell the Mochre Hayayin, the people who sell wine, Ki Kailisu Chamra, when you measure out wine, La'ovde Kochavim, for non-Jewish customers, Shaklu Zuze Minayu, first take money from them, v'hadr kailin luhu, and afterwards measure and give them the wine. V'lo nikitu b'adai zuzi, and the ovichavim don't bring any money with them, so you're not able to do this trick of taking the money from them first and then measuring out the wine. So here's what you should do: osfunu v'hadr shekilu minayu, lend them money so that they can pay you for the wine, and then take the money that you just loaned them as payment for the wine. So now you have a separate transaction with them that you have alva. You loan them money, they owe you money for a loan. They don't owe you money for wine. They owe you money for a loan. They paid for the wine already. Because if you don't do that, if you're going to just measure out for them the wine before you ever get the money, it's going to become yayinesach while it's still in your rishus. And therefore, when you go and take payment for that, it's going to turn out that you're getting paid with the money of Yai Nesech. And if you have a Havamina, the Mashiach works by Novid Chavim, the Mashiach is a valid kinyan by Novid Chavim, midamashcha Ovid Chavim Kanya, Yai Nesech Laviyat Nagabei. Well, why would it be a problem? From the time that he did the Mashiach, he was already Kona, it's already his. It doesn't become Yai Nesech until he actually touches the wine. So why does the Yisrael have to take money from the guy first? Even if he takes the money after the Mashiach, the money is not money of Yai Nesech. The guy was Kona b'mashicha, and it's money for the wine that he was just Moshech prior to ever touching it. So from the fact that Rav said, you better take the money from the guy before you touch the wine, it's mashma that Mashiach is not a valid form of kinyan, that Mos is the kinyan. And Rav was afraid that before he pays the money, he's going to touch the wine and turn it into Yai Nesach. That was his entire concern. So that's my raya, that Mashiach does not work. So the Gemara says, not a great raya. Idka Kail, Verami Lamana di Yisrael, Hachinami. Look, if the Yisrael were measuring it out, the wine, and putting the wine into his own Kalim, then yeah, that would be a good raya from Rav to what Rav Ashi says. But that's not the case where Rav was warning the Mochrim. Lo Tzricha de Kail Verami Lamana di Chavim. He was putting it directly into the kelim that belonged to the guy, that the kelim belonged to the guy. It's not a brand new kli. Meaning, when the guy is going to pick up wine, he brings his wine kelim, and there may be some wine already in that kli. So there's already yai nesach in the kli. So the new wine gets mixed with the old wine, and it becomes usser immediately, even before any mashicha is done. As the Jew is pouring it in, it's getting mixed with the yai nesach. So even though mashicha is kona, you can't be somech on the fact that he's going to do the mashicha prior to the Nisuch, because the wine had become usser prior to the Mashicha, just by the Tarovas, just by mixing together. Now Tosfos raises a kasha, that if Mashicha is Kona for a guy, Ma'os is not Kona for a guy, right? Because whatever a Kenyan works, as we said before, that a Kenyan that works for a guy doesn't work for a Jew, and a Kenyan that works for a Jew doesn't work for a guy. So what does it help to have the guy give you the money first? Sof, the wine still belongs to the until the guy is Moshe. And the ma'os is only pikadon biado, right? Meaning if you hold that Mashicha does work for a guy, it's not going to help to get paid first. Because that, by saying Mashicha works for a guy, you're saying money doesn't work for a guy. So who cares that he got paid first? So the yayin is still in the snasich while it's owned by the Jew. And then when the guy does the kidyan on it, the money goes from being a pikadon to demei, yayin nesach. So why did the takana of Rav help at all if that's the case? So Tos suggests that at the time that he gives the money, the guy says to the Israel, I'm being makna the money to you, mei achshav, and the wine will belong to me, mei achshav. And Mela, even though Be'emes, the wine is not nikna to the guy, but nevertheless, he's Moshe, when the Yisrael does a Mashiach on the money, he's kona the money right away, and the guy is so mech that the Yisrael is not going to steal it, and that he's going to pay up the wine in exchange for it. Alternatively, Tosfos suggests that a Memer does not hold that only Mashiach is kona. He holds that the guy can do a Kinyan Mashiach or a Kinyan Kesef. He darshins o kanam biyana misecha la misecha bekesef. But Lugoi, Bain Bekesef, Bain Bemashicha, that a guy has an increased capacity of Kinyan. He has the ability to do both Kinyan Kesef and Mashicha. Oh, so then Rav's Eitz is very good, because Rav says, make sure you do a Kinyan Kesef, because the Kinyan Kesef can happen before it ever becomes Yai Nesach. The Mashicha is not going to happen before it becomes Yai Nesach. So that's Tos's second answer. Then Tos raises the question, why didn't Rav just tell the Mochre Yayin to rinse out the Kelim that the guy comes to pick it up? I mean, the whole concern over here is that there's already Yai Nesach in the Kli that the guy is bringing, and therefore whatever you're pouring in is mixing with that and becoming Aser. So just tell him to rinse out the Kelim. So Tos says, yeah, that would never happen. Meaning, it's just you wouldn't have the head for it, you wouldn't remember to do that all the time. But if you have a way of, look, I don't measure anything out until I get paid first, and that's, you know, that's the policy, that's the store's policy, so that will happen because that's the way you get paid. So that's something that a person will actually enforce. So again, what happened over here? Rav, apparently, the reason he said you have to get paid first is not necessarily because the Mashicha is kona by a guy, or not kona. It's irrelevant whether Mashicha is kona. The reason he's saying that is because it becomes Yai Nesach the second you pour the wine into the kli that the guy brings. Frankly, Gemara, is that really true? So, kimata la'avira demana, as soon as the wine goes into the avir of the kli, kanya, the guy is kona with a kinyan agbah, and it's not Yai Nesach until it lands on the bottom of the kli where it mixes with the other wine. Yai Nesach lavi adamati la'arose demana. So it only becomes Yai Nesach later to mix with the wine. So it turns out that it was nisnasech for Rishus HaGoy. So why does Rav have to tell them to get paid first? It's he was kona with his kli prior to becoming Yai Nesach. So in order to be miyashiv, that what you have to say is that it became nisnasech even uh, that, at the time that you're pouring, before it actually got into the avir of the kli. How would that be the case? That becomes nesnasich, because you have to assume that nitzok chibur, that if you're pouring wine and it's one steady stream touching the wine in the bottom of the kli that's coming out of your kli, that all the wine in your kli is already considered to be mixed with the wine in his kli. He definitely hasn't been kona it yet, and it's already become yayin nesach. Oh, so this should be a raya. Shema mina, nitzok chibur. This should be a raya in that machlokas, whether nitzok is chibur, and this should bring us to that conclusion. And it's dochak to say that, because we're going to have a machlokas in the Gemara, whether nitzok is chibur or nitzok is not chibur. Tosfos says, well, why don't you just tell him to pour a little bit at a time, where there's not going to be kiluach, that's mechaber, between the yayin in the bottom and the yayin outside of the chavis. So Tosfos says, if you're selling a lot of wine, that would be an extremely tedious way to sell wine. Drip, drip, drip. Of course, obviously, you're going to want to pour all of the wine at one time. So it says, Marlo, this is not a raya to nitzok chibur or not. Because he did not kalehov chavim lekli biyadei. If the guy were actually holding the kli in his hand as you were pouring it in, then hachinami, then you'd be able to prove from here that nitzok is chibur. But that's not the case that we're talking about. Lo tzricha demanacha ara. Rav's case, where he told them that they better get paid first, is where the barrel is placed on the ground and the guy is not holding the barrel. So the wine is not nikna to the guy bahagba'a while it's still in the avir kli, because he's not holding it. And therefore, even if you say that nitzok is eino chibur, the yayin becomes asr before the kinyan, because it becomes usher as soon as it mixes with the wine in the kli, but the guy has not yet made a kinyan on it at that point, because he's not holding it. I mean, the kinyan we're assuming when it goes into the aviar kli is a kinyan agba. That only works if the guy is actually lifting it. There is no kinyan agba if he's not lifting it. So says Gemara, why kinyan agba? V'tikni le'kelav. Shouldn't his kelim be kona for him? So sham mina, kelav shalokech, brashus mocha lo kona lokech. So maybe from this conversation you see that his kelim cannot be kona for him when his kelim are in the reshus of the mocher. So this maybe is a raya in that sugya. That happens to be a machlokas and maseches basra. Can Caleb Shalkona be kona for you? Can Caleb Shalokech be kona b'reshus mocher? Maybe this should tell us that you see not, that you see that it's not kona. Says Marlo, you can't prove anything about that machlokas either. Li'olamei melach, really I'll tell you, kona lokech. That Caleb Shalokech is kona b'reshus mocher. V'achem ma'eskinon, but over here, what, in the case of Rav, that the case is that there's a little bit of wine on the edge of the kli, that all the wine that's being poured into the kli is pouring through this yayin esach that's there on the edge of the kli, that it doesn't wait till it gets to the bottom of the kli till it becomes yayin esach. Each drop that goes into this kli first becomes yayin esach and only then goes into the avira kli where the guy is going to be able to be kona it. So it becomes yayin esach before he's ever kona it, and that's why Rav said, we have a problem. You need to get paid before you start pouring this in, because otherwise that money is going to be aser. Tosfos raises the question, why isn't it batel b'shishim? That little bit of wine on the edge of the kli, that should be batel many times over. And Tosfos says, we must be assuming min b'mino in a batel, that two like kinds never become batel, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so it turns out that Rav told the mochrim, you better get your money before you measure out the wine, because of the cheshash that the yayin nesach is going to mix with the yayin nesach and it's going to become aser prior to the guy making kinyan on it, and then you're not going to be allowed to get paid. So it says Mar Ukaman, who is Rav assuming like? Delok Ram Shumum Liel. Dear Ram Shumum Liel, Hamari Macho Kulul of the Chavchutz Midme Yayin Nesach Shabo. Wait a second. So what that you have a bunch of good wine that mixes with a drop of yayin nesach and that means you're not allowed to get paid for the good wine? Didn't we Ram Shumum Liel say that if you have good wine that mixes with the yayin nesach, you can get paid for all the good wine, just deduct the amount of yayin nesach shabo. So if you just poured in 10 gallons and you're worried that there's a half a gallon of yayin nesach that's already in his barrel, don't get paid for 10 and a half gallons. Get paid for 10 gallons and it should be fine. So it must be that Rav is assuming against Rav Shmuel Gamliel that once there's a taroves, you're not even allowed to get paid for the good part of the taroves. So says Mar, midu taimel Rav, hamrav halach Rav Shmuel Gamliel. But wait, we're assuming like Rav, and Rav paskind like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. I mean, Rav is the person whose instructions we're trying to understand and justify. But Rav holds like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. So it must be chavis b'chavis avaloy. yayin b'yayin. That yes, Rav holds like Rav Shmuel Gamliel only when it's chavis b'chavis. When it's chavis shel yayin nesach, that's nisariv with other barrels of yayin. But there's no actual mixture of liquid and liquid. If it's yayin and yayin, yayin nesach gets mixed with yayin kosher, even Rav Shmuel Gamliel is going to say, you're not allowed to get paid for that yayin. And that's why Rav had to say, we better get paid for this wine before it ever goes into the rishos of the guy. Raya number two now, and this machlokas whether Mashiach is kohen or not. Meisvei halokeach grutos. If a person buys pieces of silver min avodah chavim, umatz ben avodah chavim, and you find avodah zarah in there. Imach l'nasan ma'os mashach. If you did a mashiach before the money changed hand, yachser. So then you can return the avodah zarah to the guy because you weren't kohen yet. So you don't have a chiyuv to be mevayer it. But imishanasan ma'os mashach. But if you paid for it and then did the mashiach, yolich li'am melech. Then you have to throw the avodah zarah into the Yam HaMelech, because it's yours. So Yisal Kadayt Mashiach Avod B'Chavim Kona Amay Yachzir. But if Mashiach works by an Avod B'Chavim, why, if you didn't pay money, are you allowed to be machzirit? You already did a Mashiach from the guy. Mashiach Avod B'Chavim doesn't just mean a guy does a Mashiach. It means that if you're transacting with a guy, your Mashiach would work. So that's a kasha na meimar sam rabbi mishum de mechzi ki mekach tos. No, because it looks like a mekach tos, because you didn't want to be Kona in avodah zarah. You wanted to buy a little piece of silver, and he stuck an avodah zarah in there. So that's a mekach tos, and therefore there is no kinyan at all. The Gemara Maseches Bechorah says di'ika mekach tos, has the same conversation. It doesn't say mechzi. It's not mechzi ke mekach tos. This is a mekach tos. Amar Rava Reisha mekach tos seif alav mekach tos. But wait, if you already paid the money, all of a sudden it's not a mekach tos, and now it's going to be your problem. Why should that be the case? Ella Amar Rava Reisha v'seif a mekach tos. They're both a mekach. And yet, in the Sefer, it's still your problem. Why? In the Reisha where you didn't pay, it doesn't even look like it's yours. No one's going to make the mistake of thinking that it's yours. It doesn't look like Avodah Zarah B'Yad Yisrael. Sefer D'Yav Zuzi, but in the Sefer where you already paid for it, granted it's a Mekach Tos and it's not really yours, but it looks bad. So, Raya number three. Amalei Markashisha B'Reid Rav Chista. Markashisha, the son of Rav Chista, is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether Mar Kashisha means the older son or the son he had in his old age. But he had two sons, one Mar Kashisha, one Mar Yanuka. So Mar Kashisha, the son of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, Toshma, I'll bring you another Raya to Amei Mar Shita. The Mashiach is Kona for a guy, and the Raya is from our Mishnah. If they came up with the price before they did the measuring out of the wine, Dam of Mutarim, then the money is going to be Mutar. Via Mashiach, but if Mashiach is not a valid form of kinyan, why should the money be mutar? The guy has not yet been kona it, so the yayin that's nisnasich still belongs to the Jew. He should not be allowed to get paid for it. So Rav Ashi responds, no, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the guy paid a dinar in advance, and the way Rashi understands, he overpaid in advance. He gave a bunch of money in advance, and he said, we'll see how much you have to return to me after we measure it out and figure out the pricing and everything. So at that time, when he gave that dinar, the guy is kona with the kinyan kesef, and then when he does the mashiach and he's menasech the yayin, that's already his yayin is being menasech. It's not going to be the Jew's problem. Iyachi, but if that's the case, ema seifa, if he was really makta medinar, then how come the seifa says madadat shalom pasak, that if they measure it out before they come up with the price, dama vasurin, then all the money's going to be asur? Why? Vidaktam le dinar, am I dama vasurin? If it was already prepaid, he already gave you a dinar, why should that money be asur? So amalei Ravashi said back to Mark Shish, according to you, that you want a tiny Mashiach who works by Novi Chavim, are my Reisha Dama Mutarim V'Seifa Dama V'Asurin? How are you going to explain why in the Reisha the money is going to be Mutar and the Seifa it's Asur? If the Mashiach is Kona, in the Seifa the Dama should be Mutar as well, because first he did the Mashiach on the Kli, and only then did he touch the Yayin and be Menasech the Yayin. So it was already Bereshus Hagoy. So how are you going to touch up the Mishnah? That Pasuk Samchadaite, that if they came up with a price, there was a smichas das, and he wants the kinyan to be chal when he does the mashicha, lo pasuk. But if they didn't come up with a price, lo samchadaite, then the nachri doesn't have smichas das, and he probably doesn't want the kinyan to be chal. So it's all about the das, not about the maisa kinyan. Well, the didinami, I'll tell you the same thing, that he was makdim a dinar, but is that a kinyan? So avgav de kadam le dinar pasuk, if they came up with a price in advance, samchadaite, then he wants that dinar to be be a kinyan. Lo pasik, but if they didn't come up with the price, then lo samcha daita, he's not interested in that dinar being a kinyan. Then the fourth and final raya. Amrli Ravina Ravashi Tashama, Damra Bhir Barabba Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Noach Nera Gal Pachs Mishavar Pruta. A Ben Noach gets killed for stealing even a Pachs Mishavar Pruta of Lonitin the Yishavim, and he doesn't have to return the Gezela because the Yisrael is mochel on it. The Amrit Mashiach Barchav Menokona, Amai Nera, but if Mashiach is not Kona, where's his kinyan Gezela that he's going to be killed for? He didn't do an actual Gezela. So says Mar Mishum Tzare the Yisrael. He gets killed for Tzare, for the Tzare that he caused to the Jew. Umay Lonitin the Yishavim, Deinu Betoras Yishavim. Lonitin the Yishavim means it's not Shayach HaShava because he was never Kona in the first place. Iach Yem Asefa Bach Haveru Natalim Menu Nera Gala Bishlam Aresha Mishum Tzare the Yisrael El Sefer Mayavid. Then how come if another guy and steals it from him, comes and steals it from him, he's going to get killed? Where's the Tzar for the Yisrael in that? El Shemam No Mishicha Bod Chavim Kona. Ooh, so it must be, you're right, that this is a raya that Mashiach actually is Kona, Shema Mina, and that is the Gemara's conclusion, that Mashiach Bavi Chavim is Kona. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Hahu Gavra on the top of Ayin Beis Amad Aleph. Great day, everyone.